In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, and God, amen. In case you didn't notice, today is a special day in the church, and today is actually a feast day here in the church. It's one of the seven minor feasts of the Lord, which we celebrate the circumcision of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is probably the least known and least understood of all the feasts in the entire Coptic church. And if you were kind of paying attention, like, just to, so you understand, that today's gospel spoke to us about the circumcision of the Lord when he was circumcised after 8 days, but it also talked about other events that took place after that. Okay, the events that actually that we're celebrating the circumcision were just like the first verse in the gospel when it says, after 8 days, he went to the temple to complete the circumcision. The rest of the gospel talked about when he saw Simeon and stuff like that. That's celebrating another feast that we're going to celebrate in February, which comes much, much later on. So what we're focusing on today, it's just that first verse there in the Bible which said that he was circumcised. And like I said, this feast, the Feast of the Circumcision, is one that we don't really know too much about. We don't really understand why it's there. I remember there was a friend of mine who used to go to church here, but he moved on to another place. He was like a deacon and stuff like that, and we were friends, and we used to get close. We were friends and stuff like that. And he told me that the Feast of Circumcision is his favorite feast in the church. So I looked at him and I said, you know what, with all due respect, you know what I mean? Like, he's a doctor and stuff like that, and he's smarter than me and this and that. With all due respect, why is the Feast of Circumcision the favorite feast in the church? Like, who cares about the circumcision? Who knows about the circumcision? Who cares about the circumcision? And he was very much into it, and there's like a special hymn that said and this and that, and he knew it and all that kind of stuff. So for the longest time, I didn't know anything about the Feast of Circumcision until it appeared on a Sunday, and I had to prepare a sermon about it. So I said, you know what, I have to learn about this circumcision thing. And I discovered some interesting stuff that hopefully we can share together today. First of all, whenever we talk about the circumcision, the first thing that comes to our mind is like the Old Testament circumcision, right? And Abraham specifically, as well as all the people of Israel. And in the Old Testament, circumcision is easy. Circumcision was like the sign that you belong to God's family. Okay, so those who were circumcised were God's family. Those who were uncircumcised were not God's family, the Jews and the Gentiles. And even someone, if he was like born of Jewish parents, if he wasn't circumcised for any reason, he's an outcast. Can't do Passover, can't do the feasts, can't partake in the rest of the stuff that the children of God got to partake of. So that's what we know it is in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, obviously, like it's a very, like the fulfillment of circumcision is like baptism, which is like the same concept, which is those who are baptized in the church can take communion, all that kind of stuff. Those who are not can't participate in all the activities and the good stuff inside. So that's what it means, like, on a literal level. But, like, again, the question I got to get back to is, like, who cares? Why is this a feast in the church? Why is it the church says this is something specific? And even the church says that we are festal from the time of Christmas, Nativity, up until the circumcision. So it makes it as, like, an important day. That's what we want to try to figure out today. Let me give you the answer. What I discovered about the Feast of Circumcision is that it's a feast for the strugglers. It's a feast for those who are struggling, whether it may be struggling with sin, whether it may be struggling with a habit, whether it may be struggling with a problem. It's the feast for those who want more but can't seem to get it. It's the feast for those who want to take the next step but can't seem to be able to take it. It's the feast for those who want to grow, but it seems like no matter how hard we try, and no matter how much effort we put in, and no matter how much we do anything, something always pulling us back. Well, if that's you, good news. Feast of Circumcision is for you. The Pauline epistle, St. Paul spoke about circumcision. Insert Pauline. Maybe the sound guys can, I wanted to insert the Pauline epistle right there. The guys in the sound room. That slide is supposed to be the Pauline epistle. Sorry. That's my little notes to them, but it looks like I didn't catch it. That's my mistake. Show the people the Pauline epistle if you don't mind. Very good. Thank you very much. Look what St. Paul says right here. He starts off saying, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. Let's stop right there for a second. He starts off this chapter kind of continuing a thought from the previous chapter. This is Philippians chapter 3. He's kind of continuing a thought from the previous one. And he's talking to them about this circumcision stuff. And he's saying, okay, I'm sorry to like keep beating a dead horse. I don't want to keep talking about it. It may be tedious for me, but trust me, this is very important for you. And he says, beware of the people, he calls them dogs and evil workers, who are preaching that the circumcision, the physical circumcision, is necessary to be part of the house of God. He's saying, forget about those people and beware of those people. They're just talking about mutilation. There's no sense in the outer. What he's talking about is a different kind of circumcision, an inner one. And look what he says here. He says, we are the circumcision. That's the phrase that I want to focus on. He says, we are the circumcision. What is he talking about when he says, we are the circumcision? And then he goes on and he talks about like three characteristics. And he says, worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. What do you think he means when he says that we are the circumcision? I said a minute ago that Old Testament circumcision was the mark of being part of God's family. Okay? It was what declared you as you belong to God, as what separated you from the other people. So he's saying that now in the New Testament, now after Christ has come, there is still a circumcision. There is still something that identifies me as part of God's family, as separate from the rest of the people around, but it's not an outer thing. It's an inner thing. And he lists three things: worship in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and the one that we want to focus on is the third one, which he says, having no confidence in the flesh. And I'm hoping that we can try to understand what this means, having no confidence in the flesh. And you can kind of understand what it means because the next like three or four verses, as you see up there, he starts to give like his resume in the flesh, so to speak. He starts to talk about all the accomplishments that he has done in the flesh. Talk about being a Pharisee, talk about of the tribe of Benjamin, talk about concerning zeal, persecuting the church, talks about all this kind of stuff. And if you think about it, no one had a better spiritual resume than St. Paul, right? No one had a better like religious resume than St. Paul. And if you add up all the stuff that he could list on his, it would pale, the rest of us would pale in comparison. But he says at the beginning, having no confidence in the flesh. You see, St. Paul came to a realization. He came to the realization that as good as his good was, his bad was worse. And if you stack up all the pluses of his life, it would have been really, really high. But if you stacked up all the minuses, it would have been a little bit higher. And that's why St. Paul says, as much as I wish I had confidence in my flesh, he came to a realization that if it's just about the flesh, if it is just about the flesh, it will not equal righteousness in God's eyes. Because no matter how good his flesh may be, the negative always seemed to kind of one-up it. So St. Paul came to a realization. And that's an important realization that I hope every one of us has come to as well, which is no matter how good you are, you're not good enough. No matter how good you may be, you need help. Is that you need a Savior because you have a sinful nature. Have you come to that realization in life that you have a big problem in life? You have a big problem, and that problem is called sin. Have you come to that realization, and have you taken measures to do something about it? Because if you don't, you're in trouble. Because sin is deadly. And I hope you've come to the realization, like he came to, that I have something inside me which is bad and it's deadly. If you haven't come to the realization that you're a sinful person, you have a sinful nature, I'll prove it to you right now. I'm just going to ask you one question. And if you answer this one question, I will prove to you that you have a sinful nature, and I will prove to you that you have a problem with sin and a problem that you can't fix. Raise your hand if your life is perfect and if you have no problems in life. Raise your hand if anything that you want to do in life, you're able to do easily. Raise your hand if every New Year's resolution stays for the entire new year. That if you don't want to eat, you don't eat. And if you want to exercise, you exercise. Raise your hand if you can say that I got no problems going on in life, and anything that I struggle with, no problem. Fix it right away. I don't think any one of us can say that, me first and foremost. None of us have full control over our life. Every one of us has an area that we want to fix. Starting with the surface level, like I said, of exercise or food, going to a deeper level of maybe prayer. I know I want to pray, but I can't pray. Quiet time. Apologize. My thoughts this. My feelings this and that. Every one of us has felt that way at some point in time. Have you realized that there's something inside you which is very powerful, which is called that sinful nature? I know sometimes, for me, it feels like, have you ever felt like, as much as you try, and as much as you want, and as much as you struggle, that it seems like there's something that's always pulling you back? You ever had that feeling of just powerlessness? That no matter how much you know that it's good for you, and you know you should stop this, or you know you should start this, and you know, and you can preach sermons about it, you can stand up here on Sunday and have people record you teach other about it, but you can't do anything about it. If you felt that way, what I say to you is join the club, because you're not alone in that one. Believe me, I'm the first one in that one. I know sometimes I feel, I have this feeling like I'm in the middle of the ocean, and I'm on a little, tiny little raft, and there's like Hurricane Katrina around me. Okay, and it's me and my little raft, even better than the raft, I have just little floaty ducky things. Okay, I have a little duck floaty thing. Okay, and I'm in the middle of the ocean, and it's me and my luck, just me and that duck trying to get to the other side. And it feels like, you know what, no matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I paddle, I'm not going to be able to make it. Sin feels like the sinful nature feels like it's like a tidal wave coming over me. Well, you know what, if you feel that way, I got good news for you. You're not alone. Believe it or not, St. Paul felt that way. There's a nice verse here. Sound crew people can go back to the PowerPoint if you don't mind. Sorry, that's my mistake. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 17 says that. Don't worry, they'll get to it. Romans 7, verse 15 to 17. It's my fault. It's not their fault. I gave it to them like 2 seconds before I walked here into the church. I'll read to you what it says. I'm sure you've heard the passage before. St. Paul says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." There, you can read it for yourself, because it's much easier to see when you see it. St. Paul is saying, me, St. Paul, missionary, apostle, big guy, good guy, much better than you guy, for what I am doing, I don't understand it. Because what I want to do, that I don't practice. But what I hate, that I do. See what St. Paul is saying right here? I remember the first time I saw this verse. This is back a long time ago. Someone told me, I was struggling with some stuff, this and that, and someone told me, you know what, I'll show you a guy who like expressed exactly how you felt. Okay, and he showed me this passage, but he didn't tell me this was from the Bible. He just sent it to me, whatever. Just told me this. I was like, yeah, man, I don't know who this guy is, but whoever it is, preach on, man. Like, I'm with you. This must be someone who, like, can relate to me in college with me or something like that. He said, oh, yeah, by the way, this is St. Paul. I said, what? St. Paul? No, it's not. It can't be St. Paul. How could it be St. Paul? St. Paul can't say stuff like this. The saints can't say stuff like this. They don't say stuff like this. They say things like, what I want to do, that I do, because I'm strong. These guys are strong. But you know what? As much as we want them to say that, they don't say that. It's not the Bible. It's our own invented theology, but it's not real theology. Big guys like St. Paul said, you know what, man? I'm with you. I wish I could stop this bad habit, but I can't. I wish the sinful nature didn't overtake me, but it does. Says St. Paul is the same guy saying right up here, saying, you know what? I wish I could get my spiritual life in order, and I wish I could do this, and I wish I could start this prayer habit, and I wish I could be this. He's saying, there's something in me. That's what he says in the last verse. There's something in me that dwells in me that, like I said, is that tidal wave. And it's the sin that's inside him. It's inside all of us. Again, my question, can you relate to this? Can you relate to this? Does this make sense to you? Because this passage right here is like my life story. Okay, this is what I want. Okay, this is like the summary of my life is right here said in these words. That which I will to do, that I do not do. And that which I hate, that I do. What's the solution? If you've ever felt this way, what's the solution? Well, that's where we end. Come back to what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating today is the Feast of Circumcision. And the Feast of Circumcision has something to do with the solution. But before I get to the solution, my guess is that everyone sitting here is responding to what I'm saying in like one or two ways. Okay? First way is, it's not a big deal. Well, all the stuff you're saying is not a big deal. Yeah, I'm not perfect, but who is? Not a big deal. My life is okay, under control. Everything is just fine as is. Leave me alone. That's fine. Nothing I can do about those people. I disagree with you, but you're going to, I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. But I will tell you this, that like any sickness and any disease, if you deal with it today, it's going to be easier to deal with than it will be tomorrow. So you're not going to get around this disease one way or the other, so you might as well deal with it while still an itsy-bitsy little cold before it gets out of control. So that's my advice that I will give to you. Don't ignore the problem. Even though you want to ignore it, it's only going to get bigger and bigger and do more damage. But there's a second group of people here that if you're like me, this is what I would think, okay? Which is, yes, this is a problem, and yes, I have struggle, and yes, sin is a big problem in my life. I can fix it. I can fix it. I will fix it. Forget about I can. New Year's resolution. Fix sin in 2007. I'm going to fix it. Okay? All the bad stuff, I'm going to try really, really hard. I ain't going to do it no more. And this thing that I've been struggling with for so long, that's it. Abuna, I'm serious. I'm done. Resolution. Finish. Case closed. Believe it or not, the second person is more dangerous than the first. Most of us fall into that second category because that's how we as human beings think. I have a problem, I can fix it. If I have a headache, I take an aspirin and it fixes it. If I have a problem here, I have surgery, it fixes it. Everything is fixable. Well, first of all, if your sin was fixable and if your problem was fixable, you'd have fixed it by now. So logically speaking, if I could have fixed it, it wouldn't be a problem. Right? Why would I struggle with it for this many years in my life if I could have fixed it? If the answer was in my hands the whole time, then I'm an idiot for not fixing it. So, the first thing is that logically, it can't be that the solution is that easy, that I can just fix it. And what I believe is that sometimes, especially when it comes to this kind of stuff, the more you try to fix it, the more you actually get yourself in trouble. You know what it's like? It's like a shoelace when you get it. You know when you tie your shoes and you get it in a knot, all right? And the lazy way, you know, if you want to bend down and pick up this and that, maybe, you know, if you kind of do a semi-bend down and you pick up the string, if you pull it really fast and really quick, maybe there's like a 2% chance that it'll come out. But the more likely thing that happens when you pull it is what happens. It gets more stuck. Again, it gets more jammed, and now you got to take your shoe off and you got to find someone who's got good nails and stuff like that to try to get in there, and you created more headache for yourself. You know what? Oftentimes, it's the same thing in our sin, in our sinful nature. The more we try, the more we fail. The more we try more, the more we fail more. And the more I really, really willpower and this and this and that, the more and more I end up frustrated and feeling like an absolute failure in life. What I'm saying is, if the problem is in me, the problem is in here, then logically the solution cannot be in here. The solution must be outside of it. If the problem is in here, the solution must be something bigger than the problem. Okay? So if I'm saying there's like a tidal wave inside me called the sinful nature, then I need something that's bigger than a tidal wave. What is bigger than sin? There's only one thing that is bigger than sin. The Savior. Right? The only thing bigger than sin is a Savior who saved us from sin. So any kind of solution must be directly the Savior. It can't be just me, is what I'm trying to say. It doesn't make any sense. The solution, if we go back to the circumcision that we talked about, or that we started off talking about, it's exactly what St. Paul said in the beginning. Now we've come full circle. He said that we are the circumcision. And what is the definition of we are the circumcision? Is we have no confidence in our flesh. Circumcision in the Old Testament was taking a piece of your outside body and cutting it off and throwing it away. Circumcision in the New Testament is taking a piece not of your outside body, but of your inside body and cutting it off and throwing that piece away. What is that peace called? It needs to be cut off. That peace is confidence in the flesh. That's what St. Paul says. That's what needs to be cut off and thrown away. That I no more have any confidence in my flesh. What that means is, like if you look at the cycle that most of us are in, the cycle is that we start off good, trust God, pray, all this kind of good stuff, fall into sin. Fall into sin means we cry, we repent, we beg, we all this kind of stuff. We say, God, I need you, and we're praying all day, don't fall into this sin, and please, and help me, this and that, and trusting in him. Things are going good, and then the next day we pray a little bit less, and the next day we trust a little bit less, and the next day we start to feel a little bit more confident in ourselves, and then what happens? Fall flat on our face again, and the cycle repeats itself. King David spoke about this. Psalm 32, verse 4 and 5. He says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And David said, your hand was heavy upon me, and I was sad, and I was dejected, and I was this. And then I realized that I can't fix it. I need your help, Lord. And I cried out to the Lord. And what happened? Easy. Lord forgave. Lord removes guilt. He's Savior. He's bigger than sin. Easy. But the problem is we have very short-term memories. We have very short-term memories. And the day, forget about the day. The hour, forget about the hour. The minute that you have confidence in your flesh, I promise you, is the minute that you will fall. Because your flesh will fail you 100 out of 100 times. 100 out of 100 times, if you trust in yourself, you think, hey, I got it under control. I'm doing good. Woohoo! That is the minute that you will fall. I promise you. You may not realize it, but I promise you that's the minute that you will fall. That's why the only solution, like St. Paul said, we have no confidence in our flesh. And this is a guy who had a lot of stuff to be confident in. He says, I don't trust nothing about me in the sinful nature. Why? Because I know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the part that needs to be circumcised is the confidence in myself. Can I, not just when I make bad sins, but can I every single day say, God, I am in your hands entirely. And you know what? If I don't have full fellowship and communion with you today, it's going to be a rough day. Can I every single day realize that I can't help myself and I need his help to help me? You know, like in Alcoholics Anonymous, what's the first step of the addiction guy getting sold? He says, my name is Joe and I'm an alcoholic. Okay? My name is this and I need help. I have a problem that's bigger than me. If you can't do that, you will not be helped. And the day that you don't remember that you're an alcoholic and that you need help is the day you're probably going to make a mistake. The day that I leave my house and don't remember that I have a sinful nature, and the day that I don't have all my defenses up and my hands up and ready to fight, and the day that I'm not clinging to my Savior is the day that I will fall. Easy, end of story. That's it. There's no other way around it. Imagine a person burning in a house. Or a person in a house that's burning, sorry, not the person burning. Person that's in a house that's burning and on fire. As long as he thinks that he can get out by himself and he's got little cups of water and he's trying to splash water on it, he's going to be in trouble. The only way to be saved is to realize he needs a firefighter. He's one of those guys with a big light and the thing on his back and all that kind of stuff. Many of us are fighting the fire inside with a little like a communion cup of water, okay? Trying to put out the raging fire that's all around us. It isn't going to work until you realize, I need help, Lord. Come and save me. You're going to be in big trouble. And it's not going to be good. Why? Because like I said, your sin is bad, but your Savior is good. And your sin is big, but your Savior is bigger. There's no sin. This is one of the things that we got to get through our head. Because of how the devil plays with us. Sometimes we fall into this and that. The devil starts to play with us and say, oh, you know, you're far from God, you can't get close to God, and this and that. Remember, Savior is bigger than sin. So there's no such thing as a sin that can stop me from getting to Savior. There's no such thing, okay? There's no sin that he can't fix and he can't solve. But there's plenty that I can't solve. The solution is not in our goodness, but in his greatness. Last verse, Colossians chapter 2. If you want to know what it is we celebrate today on circumcision, listen to what St. Paul says here. In him you are also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Okay? Basically talking about all the stuff we talked about. But here, the next slide is the conclusion of it. This is the best part. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What it is that we celebrate, my brothers and sisters, on the Feast of Circumcision is exactly this. That through circumcision, that God has looked down upon us, and like it says right there, he looked upon our state, and he said, having wiped out the requirements that was against us, he saw all the stuff going on in the flesh, and he saw the sinful nature and all that kind of stuff, and he said, you know what? You guys are in trouble. You're not going to make it out of this thing. It was contrary to us. And what he has done is he has wiped out all that stuff, nailed it onto the cross. He said, I know you're going to fail, and I know the sinful nature is going to be stronger than you, and I know that you can't beat it by yourself. You know what? Give me all your failure and give it to me, because I'm strong enough to make it a success. And what we celebrate on the Feast of the Circumcision is what God has given to us, which is now we no longer need confidence in the flesh. We no longer need to feel like we got to do it all on our own. But now we have confidence in something much greater. We have confidence in our Savior, who has given to us this new chance, who has erased all that kind of stuff. That's why our church teaches us to rejoice. Today's a feast. Okay, today's the day that we celebrate, and today's that we rejoice in what God has given to us and the gift of his salvation, and glory be to God forever. Amen.